This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So the Nigerian elections are happening on the 16th, which is this coming Saturday. So Nigerians are going to choose their leader. I think they have just about, 87 candidates who are vying for this particular issue. But there are two main candidates that a lot of Nigerians are saying they matter in as far as this election is concerned. And, you know, Nigeria is a big country, big population. The last estimated figures in terms of their citizenship is 190 million, which is based on projections, I'm told, from a 2006 consensus that some experts says it is flawed. Nevertheless, it remains Africa's most populous country and has 84 million people registered to vote in this weekend's election. A 25% rise, we are told, from the last such vote 4 years ago, according to the National Election Commission or the National Electoral Commission. The turnout was just 44% in 2015, which means that Nigeria, if you look at what the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance, pairing, puts it at the 41st out of 44 African countries measured by the same International Institute for Democracy. To talk more about this, we are joined by Dr. Oluwaseun Tella, Senior Researcher, Institute for Pan-African Thought and Conversation at the University of Johannesburg. Good evening to you, Doc. How are you?
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. So, the dynamics are very interesting. How important is this election for Nigeria, first and foremost, for some of us who are in South Africa who probably don't understand the bigger picture here?
I think it's quite important, given the history of the country and given the fact that there are two major candidates who we believe would influence how the country would the position of the country in the region and globally in the next 4 years. Mm. As far as I'm concerned, there are two major issues we need to look at in that respect. Mm. First, from 2015, Nigeria has emerged as what can be described as a two-party system. Mm. This does not necessarily mean that there are only two political parties in Nigeria. As a matter of fact, there are many political parties in Nigeria. Mm. As you rightly said, I think about over 70 political parties are vying for this position, the position of the president. Mm. But what this implies is that in every competitive election, two political parties dominate. Mm. So we have the All Progressive Congress by the whose presidential candidate is the incumbent, Muhammadu Buhari, mm. and the People's Democratic Party, whose presidential candidate is Atiku Abubakar, the mm. former vice president of mm. the country. Mm.
I find that very interesting because Nigeria's population is young, fast-growing, we are told, and it is expected to be the world's third most populous country by 2015. According to the United Nations, more than half of all voters, 51.1%, are between the ages of 18 to 35, according to the Electoral Commission. The country's median age is 18 years, and yet these two main contenders, one is 76, that is Buhari, the other one is 72, that is Abubakar. No, go for it, sir.
Do you want me to respond to that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a major problem. And I think this arises from the fact that the other political parties are very weak. Before 2015, as a matter of fact, PDP used to be the dominant political party in the country. APC emerged in 2015 to challenge PDP's dominance. The picture seems to show that only old men are contesting for the position of Nigeria's president. But the reality is that there are younger candidates who have come forward to contest for this position. But they have a very slim chance of emerging as the country's president, given the hegemonic control of these two major political parties.
Also, I mean, talking about women, I mean, the trends are showing that men dominate politics in Nigeria. 47% of registered voters are women, according to the commission. Their political representation apparently is very limited. The country has never elected a woman president or state governor, and women only make up 6% of the 469 national parliament members. For the national and other elections within Nigeria, women make up roughly 1 in 8 of more than 8,000 total candidates, while for the presidency alone, there are 7% of the 71 candidates. Is that an issue, though, for Nigerians?
It is. It is a serious issue. As you have rightly pointed out, it is a very chauvinistic political terrain. And what is more discouraging for me, it's when women that we think are capable, you know, to take the mantle of leadership, begin to withdraw from the race. For instance, a woman who worked for the World Bank, precisely she was the vice president of the World Bank, and she was also a cabinet member during Obasanjo's administration. Suddenly withdrew on the basis of trying to form a formidable opposition against the dominant parties. As you said, it's disheartening that a country as big as Nigeria, we have just about 6% of women representing us in the National Assembly.
Yeah, and she's got a very track record. I hope you are referring to Ezekwelisi, because
exactly.
She was a vice president of the World Bank Africa Division, also a 2018 nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize for her work in transparency in the extractive sector as well. So, you know, quite formidable, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about the issues. What are the issues in this election?
There are a number of them. The obvious one is economic issue. You will recall that Nigeria emerged as the largest economy in Africa in mid-2014. At that point in time, Nigeria had a GDP of over $500 billion. At the moment, we are struggling to get close to $400 billion US dollars. And in terms of employment, there has been a kind of increase in unemployment rate. It has risen to about 23.11%. So given the campaign promises of President Buhari, in the economic realm, the economic recovery and growth plan seems to be the administration blueprint to put Nigeria towards the path of economic development. And this plan seeks to improve infrastructure, particularly roads and railways. It also seeks to create 50 million jobs and achieve economic growth of about 7% by 2020. Mm. However, these objectives have not been achieved. Rather than having economic growth, Nigeria experienced recession, I think in 2016 or thereabouts, and there are concerns that Nigeria might return to recession. And the state of Nigerian roads leaves much to be desired. So in terms of the economic promises of Goodluck Jonathan, Muhammadu Buhari, he has not been exactly successful. There are also issues of security and corruption, because one of the campaign promises of Buhari was that he would defeat Boko Haram within a year. But the recent incident, the recent activities of Boko Haram, you know, has called into question Buhari's declaration that the terrorist group has been technically defeated. And there are also concerns with respect to corruption. Buhari claimed to have been successful in that regard, but the trackers claim that his corruption campaign has been selective at best.
So I mean, is Buhari really a popular figure? Because there have been, you know, things that have been raising concerns in as far as Nigerians are concerned. One, his health. Two, on these electoral promises that you've just spoken about, particularly on the issue of Boko Haram.
I think we need to be able to adequately answer this question. We need to look at what happened in 2015. I don't think Nigerians particularly saw Buhari as a kind of messiah. But what happened was that the voters who came to vote, as you said, about 40, between 40 and 45% of registered voters who came to vote just wanted anyone but Goodluck Jonathan, given the ineptitude of Goodluck Jonathan's administration. So it wasn't that Nigerians perceived him as a messiah, because if he was perceived as a messiah, he would have won the election prior to 2016, because he had contested a couple of times before eventually winning the 2015 election.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, is it surprising that thus far we haven't heard of any conflicts? Was it really a smooth electioneering period for Nigerians, you know, because we haven't had anything untoward thus far?
Can you repeat the question?
I'm just saying we haven't had any controversies with regards to the election, and accusations and counter accusations against the electoral commission and so on and so forth. To what extent does this say about the smoothness of the preparations for these elections?
I am not sure about the smoothness of the election as you portray it to be. Given what has happened in the last 1 month or so. For instance, there are concerns over whether these elections will be free and fair, and the extra constitutional suspension of Nigerian Chief Justice points to that direction, because it actually reinforces the fear that not just Nigerians and even international observers have over these elections. And also, you made mention of electoral commission. I think recently about two or three offices of the electoral commission were destroyed. So I'm not sure how peaceful this election would be. And we must not also forget the activities of Boko Haram. It will not be surprising if the insurgents decide to strike during the elections.
Yeah, yeah. There's also another lingering issue. I'm not too sure to what extent does it play a role in these elections, the issue of the Biafra.
Yeah, it's also an important issue because the attention, it's always on Boko Haram, but there are other sources of insecurity in Nigeria, ethno-religious conflict, and the Niger Delta question. These are also important. During the 2015 election, Buhari was able to win a lot of voters from the north and southwest. Many southeast states voted for Jonathan. So the Niger Delta question, it's also important and can play its significant role in the direction of this election. But what is important, though, is that both candidates, the major contenders, are from the northern part of the country. However, the vice president, the running mate of Atiku Abubakar, is from the eastern part of the country. So perhaps that could be a factor in getting the vote of the eastern part of the country, including the Niger Delta.
Yeah, yeah. So in as far as Nigeria and its neighbors are concerned, I mean, how critical is this for particularly neighboring countries, you know, that have economic relationships with Nigeria in particular?
I think it's very critical, not just in terms of economic issues, but I think most importantly, security issues, because Nigeria is viewed as not just an economic hegemon, but a political hegemon. But in recent years, Nigeria is increasingly seen as a source of insecurity rather than the guarantor of security in the region, given the activities of Boko Haram. So the West African countries would want a president that would be able to tackle the issue of Boko Haram. That's one. And also, they would want a president that would be able to guarantee economic stability and to guarantee a sense, a direction, a clear direction in terms of economic policies within the region.
Yeah, yeah. And for South Africa, any significance? I mean, we've had our own international disagreements. You know, there were also issues around your MTNs as well, and the problems that they had with the Nigerian government. To what significance is it for us, if at all, as South Africa?
Yeah, I think it is significant, given the fact that both countries are perhaps the most important country in definitely in sub-Saharan Africa and possibly the entire continent. It is important because these countries play a major role in their respective sub-regions. Whatever happens in both countries are critical to the failure or the success of the entire country. So it is important because South Africa would want to establish a solid relationship with Nigeria. And I think vice versa, it is in the interest of both countries to have a solid and cordial relationship, because anything other than that might not augur well for any of the country, given the volume of trade that happens between the country and also their impact in the entire region.
Yeah. Let's go back to the issue of corruption, because some friend of mine from Nigeria was saying, we in South Africa think we are dealing with big corruption issues. They are a walk in the park when it comes to Nigeria. Is the issue of corruption that serious to a certain extent, or just exaggerated? And to what extent is it an election issue?
It is very serious because you need to check the major surveys and the major index that measure good governance in Nigeria to realize how grievous this issue is. For instance, when you check the democracy index, the Moi Ibrahim index, transparency, international corruption perception index, Nigeria does not fare well in this index. So in terms of Nigeria's global image, it has significant impact, because this would prevent foreign direct investment, for instance, and it would also give a bad image for Nigerians abroad.
Who would be good from where you are sitting for the country? Buhari or Abubakar?
No, I don't think I would I would want to answer that question, but I would prefer to talk about who I think might likely win and my reason for that. I think despite the flaws of Buhari, I think he has a slight edge over Atiku Abubakar. Because we need to understand the fact that Atiku Abubakar was the vice president during Obasanjo's administration, and there have been various allegations of corruption against him. Some of his campaign promises include creating 3 million jobs and lifting 50 million Nigerians out of poverty. But many Nigerians doubt he would be able to fulfill these promises on the basis of his antecedent. So for me, Buhari has a slight edge for the following reasons. First, the power of incumbency. Mm. I think Buhari is able to use the state resources to achieve his objectives. For instance, a state-owned television station in Nigeria, which is the largest in the country and possibly the largest television network in Africa, has become an instrument of propaganda. Mm. Second, there are concerns over whether this election will be free and fair. And the recent, as I earlier said, the recent extra-constitutional suspension of the Chief Justice has reinforced such fear. Third, the president's political party controls about 24 states, while PDP, the main opposition, controls only 11 states. There is no gainsaying the fact that these state governors would play a significant role in influencing the outcome of the elections. And fourth, which is the last point, the main challenger, which is Atiku Abubakar, does not come across as a credible candidate.
Yeah. Now, what about Nigerians in South Africa? You know, are you guys going home to participate, or do you not have the confidence of the democratic element of this election?
I may not be able to answer that question, because I don't know if Nigerians in South Africa are going home just to vote for this election. I don't know about that. And unfortunately, we can't vote here in South Africa.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, Dr. Teller, for talking to us. We really, really appreciate it.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.